Let me ask you this, and I know the answer to many of you would probably answer it. If you knew something you could do would affect someone in being saved, what would be the limit of what you would do? If you could give something, what would you be willing to give up? If you could do something, what would you be willing to do? You know, Jesus puts the value of a soul. He says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Begin reading with you, if you would, in Matthew chapter 17. Keep your Bibles open there. We'll be looking at several passages there, just within 16 and 17. Verse 24, and when they were come to Capernaum, we preached about that the other day, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou openest his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now keep your Bibles open there a moment, and let me say a couple things in opening up and getting your thought process. If I was to have you to stand up and explain why this portion of Scripture is in the Bible, what do you think it's teaching? What do you think some lessons we can get? That we'll go down here in Lake Cumberland and throw a bunch of fishing lines in, try to catch a fish that's got money? What would be the truth there? This morning, I want to preach upon this thought. The principle taught here, the principle of paying what we don't owe. And I want us to look into the context of the Scripture, and I want to show you a couple things. Now, first of all, there's a couple things I want to point out real quickly. First, I want you to notice that he is paying tribute money, not taxes. Now, taxes was collected by the Roman government during this time. Tribute money was collected by those that was in the temple. And there was some given responsibility to collect tribute money. And so the tribute money had to be Jewish money. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us what it had to be. I'll show you in just a moment. But let me say this and leave it. Some people says, I don't want to pay taxes because I don't like the way they're spent. Well, they just passed, in our government, they just passed a tax bill. $500 million went to Planned Parenthood to support abortions. Ain't no way I'm going to give a nickel to support abortions and killing and taking a baby's lives. But I'm going to pay my taxes. Do I like the tax bill? No. The Bible does not give me excuse not to pay my taxes. Jesus picked up a coin one time, says, whose image is on it? They said, Caesar's. He said, then render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, you say, well, I don't like the way they're spending it. I don't either. But they're going to have to be responsible for that. But getting back, we have tribute money. Now, tribute money, if you'll keep your finger here and turn with me over to Exodus chapter 30, we'll find what the tribute money was. In Exodus chapter 30, begin reading with me when you get over there. In verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when, in verse number 12 here, chapter 30 of Exodus, when thou takest a sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they will give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. Half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more. The poor shall not give less than a half a shekel. And when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, after service, you're welcome to look at this. Maxine bought me some of these one time, and I've got a half a shekel. The silver here is a half a shekel. This is a coin that they had to give. Now, this was a coin that they required instead of a Roman coin because it went to the temple. That's why they had money changers in the temple. And you're welcome to look at that afterwards and kind of see that silver coin, see what it was like. But every man that was over 20 years old was able to go fight in war, but he's also required to give a half a shekel. And that was a requirement of any man. Now here the Bible says it reflects a money for atonement for their souls and also to prevent them from having plagues. Now somebody said, does that mean they were buying their salvation? That's not what it means at all. They were giving it into the temple for the upkeep of the temple because of the atonement for their souls. Because God had been good to them and kept plagues away. And you know, so they were doing that to upkeep the temple of God that he had commanded Moses to build, the tabernacle and later on the temple. And they were commanded to do that so that they could upkeep it because of the fact that God had been good to the people of Israel and provided salvation for their souls and had kept plagues off of them that he allowed to come upon the nation of Egypt. Now look back in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 17 once again. Now, it's interesting that only Matthew covers this story. Now, there's a reason why that Matthew does, because not only does he present Jesus as King of the Jews, when you deal with Jewish customs, Matthew is a gospel that normally deals with stories that deals with Jewish customs. And so here, not only was Matthew a tax collector, but here it was dealing with a custom of the Jews. You see, the Jews, the Romans was required to do this. Only the Jews was required to give this tribute money. Now, notice if you would, back in 24, that they came unto Peter. They didn't come to Jesus. They came to Peter. And notice, it reminds me of the press today. Notice that they ask him a question about Jesus if he paid tribute money. But notice they always ask it in the negative. They said, doth not your master pay tribute? In other words, they wanted to know if Jesus was going to be a good Jew. Was he someone that was going to pay tribute? Here he was, a Jew. He was over 20. So in their mind, he was to pay a half a shekel. But they didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. They didn't believe him to be the Son of God. And so what they did was they wanted to ask him, if he was going to pay tribute. So Peter said yes. Then look in verse 26 or 25. He comes into the house, and before he can say anything, the Bible says Jesus prevented him. In other words, Jesus went before him, and what he did was this. He asked him a question. He says, to whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? In other words, what he's saying here is this. Before Peter could even tell him, somebody asked him if he was going to pay tribute, and he told him that his master would, he come in the house, of course, Jesus knowing all things, because he was what? The Son of God. He was God. So therefore, he knew what was going on. So before he even had a chance to say anything, Jesus said, I want to ask you a question. When a king reigns and he's conquered all these people, who does he charge the tribute to? The strangers that he's conquered? Or does he charge his own children? Peter said, why the strangers, of course. He don't charge his own children. And so therefore, the strangers are required to give the tribute. And therefore, that's where he gets his money from those that he conquered. And so Jesus he said that was true. You know, that he recognized that that was right. Now, but Jesus being the Son of God, now who was the temple dedicated to? Remember when Jesus went into the temple and he cleaned the money changers, started kicking over tables? Remember what he said? Thou hast made what? My Father's house a den of thieves. It was God's house. And Jesus was a Son of God. Jesus didn't owe no money. He was a son. He was not a stranger. And being a son of God, he owed no money. But the Jews didn't believe him to be a son of God. Let's look at the context. Turn back in your Bibles just a moment, if you would, in chapter 16. In chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, the Pharisees came tempting and wanting a sign. Now, they had done that before. Keep your finger there in 16. Turn back to chapter 12. I know I'm flipping you a lot, but I want to do that because when you study something, you bring out truth, you want to see what the context of the Scripture is. Look in chapter 12. In verse 38, the Bible says, then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a what?
A sign
from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there should be no sign be given to thee, but the sign of what? The prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they have repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now look, if you would, in chapter 16. Now after Jesus done told them, the only sign they would get is sign of Jonas. Look in chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, tempting, desired him that he would show them a what? A sign from heaven. Chapter 16, verse 1 is where I'm at. And notice here, he says, you can tell the weather in verse 2 and 3, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Look in verse 4. A wicked, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there should be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet who?
Jonas.
And he left and parted. Now, the interesting thing is, of all the prophets of Israel, the Jews rejected Jonas more than everybody else. And so Jonah is the one that Jesus used. And so twice he used the sign of Jonah. As he was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. You want a sign? That'll be a sign. When you see me come up out of the grave, you'll know that I am who I say I am. But yet the Jews didn't believe and they denied Jesus. Look on, if you would, in chapter 16 again, verses 5 through 12. Now he told them in verses 5 through 12 that they were to beware. Verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Look in verse 12. It says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In other words, what he was doing was he warned the disciples that the doctrine of what the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees were teaching was false doctrine. Okay? Now, look on with me just a moment. Notice if you would in chapter 16 again, verses 13 on down through 20. Now here, something else was happening. What was happening was God was taking the preaching of the kingdom from Israel because John the Baptist had come preaching to them. He'd come preaching. The disciples come preaching. They denied that Jesus was who he said he was. And so what he was going to do was he was going to take it from the Jews, Israel, and give it to the church. Now this is important. Stay with me a minute. That's why he said, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some says you're John the Baptist, Elijah, and some one of the prophets. He looked at Peter and said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. And so Jesus told him that he didn't get that from flesh and blood, but he got that from heaven. Because, see, the whole idea was the reason why the kingdom was taken away from the Jews and the message of the kingdom, preaching the kingdom, was because of the fact they rejected him as the Son of God. Now, here they wanted him to pay, don't forget the context, they wanted him to pay tribute, but yet, being a son, he wasn't responsible to pay tribute. But they didn't recognize him as the Son of God, okay? Now, stay with me a minute and notice this. And so, I also want you to notice something else. Look in verse 20. He tells them something strange, and I get people ask me all the time, why did he tell them this? Look at verse 20. Then charge thee, after he said that he would build upon this rock, I will build my church, and gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look in verse 20. Then charge ye disciples that they should tell what? That he was who? You see, they refused to believe. Christ means the Messiah. They refused to accept him as Messiah. So he said, listen. He said, from now on, don't tell nobody. Don't tell them. He said, that's strange. Then if you notice in verse number chapter 17, what he did was, he went up on the mount what we call the Mount Transfiguration. There he was transfigured before their eyes, and they got to see that he was truly the Son of God. Peter, James, and John was up there with him. They got to see Moses and Elijah up there with him, and they recognized the fact that this was truly the Son of God. He was equal with God. But now notice here what he did when he come down. Look in verse number 9 again. And as they come down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, what? Tell the vision to who? No man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So he said, listen. He said, what you seen me do upon the mountain, what you saw Moses and Elijah, and you saw me change before your very eyes, and you know who I am, he said, don't tell nobody until I've resurrected. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Now look on. Now you got to remember that they kept rejecting him, who he was. And so therefore, because of their hardness of Israel, he took it away from them and gave it to the church. Look on in your Bible in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 17, right before our text of what we read. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men. And they shall what? Kill him, and the third day he shall be what? And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Now, they didn't understand what he's talking about fully. But here he was telling them he's going to be crucified, and he's going to resurrect. After 3 days, he's come up out of the grave. Now, then, after this happens, it's where we get to our story. And so they did not believe Jesus, but they wanted to know, was he a good Jew? But what they didn't realize was this. So they was asking Peter, they said, does not your master believe in giving tribute to the temple? Won't know if he was a good Jew. But what they didn't recognize was, a good Jew served and obeyed God. And what they based a good Jew on was where they gave the half a shekel to the temple. But what Jesus was teaching them here is he was teaching them a good Jew is one that obeyed God. And he was true to God. And since it was God's temple, Jesus was a better Jew than all the rest of them because he was true to God in the temple. That's why he walked in there, kicked over the tables of money changers, and run them out and so forth. They'd made it a den of thieves. And they didn't think, and the reason why they asked Peter this, they didn't think Jesus was a Jew that cared for the temple. But they didn't know that he had more respect for the temple than all of them did. Look on. Look back again. Now notice what he says back in Scripture. So, in verse 26, Peter said unto him, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, what? Then are the children what? Now, Peter was also a son of God at this time. He was different than Jesus. Jesus was the only begotten son of God. But to as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. So he was a son of God. So right now, to be honest with you, even though they come and ask Peter about the tribute money, neither Peter nor Jesus owe tribute because it was their father's house. Does that make sense? And so here, that's what Jesus is trying to get them to see. Now turn back just a moment again and look. But notice what Jesus said. Verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should what? Did you get that? He said, Jesus was saying, Peter, we don't owe it. We are children. I'm the Son of God, and you became the Son of God when you believed upon me. We don't owe this tribute because it is our Father's house. He said, but just so we don't offend them. Somebody said, was Jesus a compromiser? Now stay with me a minute. Jesus was pretty strong on offending. In the next chapter, chapter 18, he talks about that if one was offend a little one, it'd be better that a millstone be tied around his neck and cast in sea. But now turn back in your Bibles just a moment, if you would, to chapter 15 real quickly. Keep your finger there. I know I've turned you a lot, but I'm just keeping you awake is all I'm doing. Those of you would in verses 10 through 14, the Bible says that he come and he began to teach. In verse 12 it says, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were what? Somebody said, was he a compromiser because he didn't want to offend people? So when he got through teaching this, they come to him, his disciples said, don't you know you offended those Pharisees after they heard this saying? And he answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be what? Blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in a ditch. Listen, Jesus didn't mind a bit to stand toe-to-toe with anybody teaching false doctrine. That was not what the people he was afraid and he's talking about offending. So why was he worried about offending these Jews? And he said, go ahead, and what he was wanting to do, tell Peter, in other words, he said, we're going to go ahead and pay tribute. We don't owe the money, but we're going to pay tribute. Now turn with me, if you would, just a moment. Again, as I said, I've turned you quite a bit. But notice this, if you would, in chapter 5. Let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount. One of you was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, I believe Brother Junior this morning. Look, if you would, in chapter 5. Now get this, because it's important that you try to get this truth. The Bible says we're study His Word, that we can write, He says, study shows itself approved, a workman unto God, which need not be ashamed, rightly dividing what? When we study, we got to rightly divide it. Look, if you would, in chapter 5, verse 38, Jesus said this, ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, and whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. Somebody said, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about vengeance. He's talking about somebody that instead of getting vengeance when somebody does something to you, go right back and try to get back at them. But notice in verse 40, and if any man will sue thee at the law, take thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now remember, we're getting up to the point where we're at Texas. What's he teaching them on this Sermon on the Mount? He's teaching them that if someone, he said, you've heard an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He said, that's not how I want you to behave. He said, I don't want you to think that vengeance is yours. Then he gives them three examples of things. He said, if you go to court and somebody sues you for a coat, give them your cloak also. Look back in your Bible a moment. What does he mean there? Well, what he means is, and this is the point he's trying to get this idea in your head, and it'll play into the truth of the scripture where I want to bring. What Jesus is trying to get across to us is this. If someone takes me to court and sues me for my coat, give my cloak also. What he means is, don't value the temporary stuff over eternal things. Somebody said, It's mine. I won't give him a red cent. I just ask you, starting this message off, if you might be able to touch someone about being saved, how much would you be willing to give? And how much would you be willing to do to try to help somebody get saved? Is it worth that coat? Would you treasure this coat over somebody's soul? If you had two of them, would you throw the other one in? That's what Jesus is trying to get. Then he uses a second example. He says, if someone asks you to walk a mile, walk two. And what he's getting at here, the Roman custom was this. A soldier had the authority, if he was carrying a backpack or a load, and he's walking, and he saw you walking as a Jew, he said, take my backpack. And you had to carry it for 1 mile, help him carry it. By law, that was commanded of you, that if a soldier asked you and compelled you to carry his pack for a mile, you had to carry it for 1 mile. Now, most of the Jews resentfully would carry it and say, I hate this Roman soldier. I hate it. Boy, I wish I didn't have to. And then he'd go 1 mile, not one inch further, and they throw it down and say, there, I carried it a mile. Jesus said, if he asked you to carry a mile, carry it 2 miles. How much would you do to maybe convince that soldier that truly he is the Son of God? Remember that Roman centurion that stood at the cross and looked up and he said, truly, this is the Son of God. And he said, if somebody asks to borrow something from you, give it to them. And what you need to understand is how valuable is temporary stuff. Everything I've got. One of these days, I'm leaving it behind. And that day is getting closer and closer all the time. I'd like to stop the clock, but I can't stop it. But anyway, the point is, so Jesus is getting this cross. Turn back, if you would, in chapter 17 again. Or let me, before you get there, look in chapter 6. One more place, and I'll bring it to close. But I want you to get all this. Look in chapter 6. Notice what Jesus says here. You say, well, how am I going to pay my family? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to take care of all this if I give all my stuff away? Look what he says in chapter 6 and verse number 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures where? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through and steal. Anybody ever have anybody steal something from you? Me too. It's not a good feeling, is it? But you know that's possible right now. Somebody might be in one of our houses just taking everything we got. Is that going to be the end of life? Nah. Look on. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? Yeah. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will what? Okay, somebody said, well, how can I do it? Well, he goes on and explains. He says, listen, God takes care of all the birds, all the plants, all this. And in verse number 33, he says this, one of Brother Ricky's favorite verses. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? What he's trying to get you to understand is this. He says, listen, just obey me, and I'll take care of all this other stuff. Don't worry about that coat. You give that coat and a cloak. Guess what? Do you need a coat? You ever have have you ever done something for the Lord and Lord just give it back to you in a wonderful way? And you knew that God had given it to you in an unusual way? And so what Jesus is trying to teach here is he's trying to teach through the book of Matthew here. He's trying to teach, listen, as Christians, what I want you to do is obey and don't hang on to everything so tight that's earthly, and understand there's a heavenly thing that's much more valuable than your earthly stuff. Okay, you got that? And he says, if you do this, then what will happen is this. God knows he's able to provide the birds food and so forth. And guess what? Food, shelter, and clothing, you'll not have to worry about. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. You say, where will I get them? Wherever God wants to give them. God can give them anywhere he wants to. Turn back, if you would, in chapter 17. Now get this, stay with me a minute before I close. Now you remember in chapter 17, at the first I told you he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He went up there, he proved he was God. Then he come down, and anybody remember what was waiting on him when he got at the bottom of the mountain? Anybody remember what happened? In verses 14 through 21, this man brought his son. And his son, he said, was a lunatic. He had demons. And he told him, he said, your disciples cannot cast out demons. Could not cast the demons out of him. And so they brought him to Jesus. He just come down from the mount with Peter, James, and John. And he cast him out. Stay with me a minute. Jesus has the power to do anything he wants to.
Amen.
Jesus didn't owe the tribute money. You got this? Mm-hmm. Now look here. He could have said this. Give me money in my hand, and money would appear. He didn't have a half a shekel, 50 cents. Now, Judas might have had it in his bag, but Jesus didn't have it. And so when Peter come and said, he told him, oh, yeah, he'll pay the shekel. Well, he didn't even tell Jesus what happened. Jesus didn't know. And so Jesus said, who pays tribute? He said, strangers and pilgrims. He said, strangers or children. And he said, exactly. He said, then children are free. In other words, we don't owe nothing but to keep from offending. Now, what I want you to do is this, Peter, to keep from offending. Why keep from offending? Because those Jews were going to be the same ones after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost would hear the gospel. And some of them would believe. And they would come and be saved. And he says, is it worth us to argue that we don't owe this money? Is money so tribute? He could have commanded angels to bring him money. But he didn't. You know what he did? He said, Peter, you're a fisherman. Get to work, boy. Go out there and throw your hook in the water. Now let me say this principle. When God wants something to do, he expects you to work. He can just give it to us. You say, boy, our church needs to grow. Well, get to work. How valuable is it to you? What's a soul worth? Is it worth your time? You say, boy, I have my time. What? Weigh your time out. Well, preacher, it costs me gas money. Weigh it out. You going to take gas money with you? Most, you know what's going to happen most of your gas money? Your kid's going to end up fighting over it. But look here. Stay with me a minute. So Jesus said, Peter, go out and fish. He said, by the way, Peter, the first fish you catch, open his mouth, he's going to have a coin. He said, go ahead and take the coin. He's master of everything. He can make happen whatever he wants to happen. Now stay with me a minute. So what happened was Peter went out there. He cast a hook in the water. He caught a fish. Open mouth. And corn was there. Can I say this? Jesus could have had a whole bag of corns there. But he didn't. He wanted Peter to learn to trust in God. And he wanted Peter to learn this lesson. Don't hang on to everything so tight that you don't go out of your way to try to help other people keep from offending them. Because later on, something may be said or done that that person might get saved. And if they got saved, it was far worth more than what you gave up. And your treasure will be in heaven waiting on you when you get there. And so what you need to understand is, don't get so attached. We were talking about, somebody was talking about this morning, we were putting some little things out of her dad's yesterday, and somebody said, well, in generation two, nobody know who they are and what they are anyway. That might be true. But those things don't really matter. We love them, we treasure them, but if somebody comes and stole them, it wouldn't be the end of the day. But if a person dies without Christ, is that not, I've got sore feet. Both my heels are bruised. I can't hardly stand right now. But if I could walk 2 miles to see somebody get saved, I'd walk 2 miles. And I'll be honest with you, I could walk Somerset and back, I'd walk it. So Jesus is getting cross, he says this. The truth he's trying to teach us here is the principle of paying what you don't owe. You got it? You say, I don't owe them anything. No. But that's not the principle that Jesus taught. He taught that even though you don't owe it, something you do may affect them for eternity. And if it affects them for eternity, what you gave up here temporary will not amount to nothing. Don't be so attached.